Okay, Dego Machen Erfayim per Parsha Shoftim Tafshanayin Test. We'll start with the piece. Al Pishne Eidim O Shlosha Eidim Yakum Davar. Okay, I'll start with the smallest piece we're going to look at today, a standalone piece. Very interesting. You'll see it's a different style than we saw last week. Just a very creative insight. The Pasuk says, Lo Yakum Eid Echor Ve'ish. The full Pasuk, which I'm reading from the Chumash here, says that a single witness should not stand up to testify. Rather, as the Pasuk says in front of you, Al Pi Shnei Eidim or Al Pi Shlosha Eidim Yakum Davar. Rather, through the testimony of two witnesses or three witnesses, Yakum Davar, the matter shall be confirmed, shall be established. You need two or three witnesses. Obvious question, which Chazal deal with. If it says two, why do you need to say three? Once you have two witnesses, if two is sufficient, then three is certainly sufficient. Okay. Says our Rabbi, the Degel Machon Ephraim, an amazing insight. He says, Al pi shnei eidim o shlosha eidim. Yesh lefarish. Al derech diisa v'gemar. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos, you're very lucky. You don't realize how lucky you are. You get to come to yeshiva every day. You get to learn Torah, I don't know, as much as you want. Okay, maybe not exactly as much as you want, right? But there's a lot of time for you to use in the study of Torah. No one here is working full time. Most people here are not married. Not everyone. Some people are married. I'm married. Pesach's married. Anyone else married? No? Anyone else engaged? Anyone else get engaged this week? Okay. Fine. So yeah, as life gets busier, you know, we're not making excuses for ourselves, but you have an opportunity to learn a lot of Torah. The Gemara says in Maseches Menachos that the truth is one can fulfill their obligation of a Hagisa Bo Yomim V'Layla, of studying Torah day and night, simply by reciting Shema in the morning and Shema at night. The Gemara says, don't say that too loudly, where lazy people are going to say, what do you mean, I learn day and night? I say Shema in the morning, I say Shema at night, I'm good, I don't have to do anything else. But technically, says the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Tzadi Tes, I think it's Reishun Bar Yochai's Shita, Hakore Kriyash Mashachis Va'arvis, Mekayim V'Gisabo Yom V'Layl. If a person says Shema in the morning and Shema in the evening, he fulfills the obligation of studying Torah day and night. V'Isa Sham B'Gemara, the Gemara further states in Maseches Brachos, so meaning the minimum is that a person says Shema twice a day. Okay, I mean, we know that from the Chumash itself. When you lie down, when you get up. Okay, great. Says the Gemara in Brachos, Am ha'aretz sarach likros kriyashma gam al mitaso. And Am ha'aretz has to say Shema also before he goes to sleep. Lahagin alav min hamazikin. To protect him from harmful forces. Why does the Talmud Chacham not need to say Shema before he goes to sleep? It says the Gemara, V'Talmud Chacham sagi le b'kriyashma shal arvis. The Talmud Chacham is good saying Shema twice a day. He doesn't need that additional Shema. And the reason is because Torah mishmartam. The Torah protects him. He has a lot of Torah, and the Torah watches over him, so he doesn't need to worry about mazikin, shedim, demonic forces that might prey upon him in the middle of the night. Okay. What does this have to do with our pasuk at all? Says the Degel Machon Ephraim, Gvaldik insight. Al pi shnei eidim o shlosha eidim. Why is Shema called eidim? So he writes, Hine yadua kavana b'shema yesh ayin rabasi. If you ever looked in your Siddur, or a Torah, or a Chumash, you see that the word Shema has a big letter, ayin. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The word Echad has a big dalid. Why are the ayin and dalid of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad enlarged? Ayin Dalit is aid, testimony, witness. Because when a Jew says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he's testifying, I believe in Rabbanu Shalom. I don't care what the world says. Ani ma'amin b'muna shlema, that there's a creator to the world. That's our daily testimony. So therefore, it says, Dagabachar Ephraim Shema has a big ayin, ayin rabasi, a big ayin, Uva Echad, in the word Echad, Dalid Rabasi, a big Dalid, put it together, he aid. That's the testimony that we offer through our Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim by saying Shema, Lohoros Shanu Eidim La Kadosh Baruch Hu Al Achduso Yizbarach. It's indicating, it's teaching us, the big iron and the big dollar, teaching us that we are testifying to the oneness of the Creator.
What does it say?
Al pi shnei edim, o shlosha edim, yakum davar. No? Yeah? Good. Anyone who's smiling got the var. Yeah? Eid means saying Shema. How many times a day do you say Shema? Well, it depends. If you're a Talmud Chacham, shnei edim, you have to say Shema twice a day. If you're an Am Haaretz, before you go to sleep, you need extra protection, so you need to say Shema a third time. Okay, let's see how he says it. He adds a little bit of Kabbalah to it. Let's see. V'zeo shemaram is ha-pasuk. Al pi, mispar tzadi aleph imakola. Says the Degel Machaneh Ephraim, right? I mean, you could say pasuk, you could say al pi shnei edim, right? By saying, al pi, by saying, by declaring the edus that a Jew says, namely Kriyas Shema. But the way he's learning it a little bit deeper even. Al pi, what's the gematria of the word pi? Pei is 80, yud is 10, 90. Okay? In gematria we have a concept sometimes, we have a concept that's called, we sometimes add one, it's called the kolel. When we do it, why we do it, how we do that, why is that legitimate? Great question. It's something we find already even in halacha, in the chumash itself. The Torah says, give 40 lashes, we give 39. We talk about the 39 malachos, which the Gemara refers to as Arbayim Chaser Achas, 40 minus 1. Okay, the concept of being off by 1 is not so crazy. We count 50 days. Actually, we know we count 49 days. The 50th day is Shavuos. Okay, so the concept of being off by 1 is already discussed by the Rishon. Oh, Siyata Deshmaya. I didn't even realize. I have here the Stipler Gons, Sefer Birchas Peretz. In the back, he does Gematrias. And actually, in his introduction, he talks about this. He explains the concept of being off by one in his Hakdama here. He quotes from Rishonim. He says, the Shibole Haleket, the Rishon, says, B'gamatria lo kabdinan al achas chaser o yaser. In Gematria, we're not concerned for being off by one. Again, you ought to know how to use it and when to use it. Okay. And he says, in a similar fashion, we find the Rosh writes in Maseches Pesachim. These are halachic Rishonim. The Rosh in Maseches Pesachim writes in Siman Mem, that the example I just gave you, Tisperu Chamishim Yom, count 50 days, Svirasa Omer. We actually count how many days? 49 days, up to 50. So again, says the Stipler Gaon, you see from Rishonim, and he brings other sources, that you're allowed to be off by one in Gematria. Okay? Again, we don't use it casually, but Tzadikim are allowed to use it when they know how to use it. So let's see what he says here. So al pi is gematria 90, but he says with the kolel, with the plus one, it's 91. Okay. Hainu, what is 91? Hainu yichud kutcha brichu ushchinte. It's the unification of Hashem and the Shechina. It's a very Kabbalistic way of speaking. Let's keep it simple. What is 91? How is Hashem's name written? The basic name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei. What's the gematria of Yud Kei Vav Kei? 26. How do we pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei? We don't pronounce it the way it's written. We say Ado, right? We pronounce it Aleph, Dalid, Nun, and Yud. Okay. What's the gematria of Aleph, Dalid, Nun, and Yud? 65. What's 65 plus 26? The way God's name is written and the way God's name is pronounced? 91. Okay? 91 is a significant number. When you say Amen to a bracha, Amen is gematria 91. 91 is an important number. But it sort of represents, again, I'm not going to go into, I don't know so much, but a little bit I could say about Yichud Kutcher Bichu Shchinte, but we'll keep it very simple. It's a unification, the way we're learning this remez of 91, it's a unification of God's name, the way that it's written, and the way it's pronounced. Whatever that means, you could say it like this. Kutcher Bichu Ushchinte. You have to watch my hand motion. Kutcher Bichu. Hashem is manifested beyond. Shchinte, Shechina, as Hashem manifests himself in this world. The way that God's name is written, that we don't dare to say, represents something beyond. And the way that we bring it down, the way that we express it, the way we actually say it, right? Baruch Ata Ado, the way we say it, is Hashem down below. So 91 represents what? The unification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, above and below. It's a very simplistic explanation. It's obviously lacking on many levels. Okay, but the idea is that when we say Shema, what we're doing is we're bringing Hashem in. So al pi, through the unification of Hashem's name, which is achieved through reciting Shema, continues, what does it say? V'anu eidim badavar, and we testify to this matter. That's what Shema is, the big ayin and the big dalid. So what does the pasuk say? Al pi shnei eidim. What does shnei eidim mean? A person who says Shema twice a day. Hainu l'talmid chacham sagi shnei pa'amim kriya shema shachris v'arvis. For the Talmud Chacham, it's sagi. What does sagi mean? Sufficient to say Shema twice a day. O shlosha eidim. Who needs to say Shema three times a day? What did the Gemara tell us? The Am Haaretz needs the extra protection. Hainu Am Haaretz shu meid gamken kriya shema shal mitaso. And when a person says Shema, each person, in accordance with his level, two times a day, three times a day. Al yidei zeh, what's the end of the pasuk? Al pi shnei eidim, o shlosha eidim, yakum davar. The matter is what? Established. What does that mean? Hainu, again, a little bit Kabbalistic. Hainu malchus shu ashchina kiviyachol. Hainu sheyesh aliyah lashchina kiviyachol al yidei zeh. Yakum means what? To establish, means to lift up. If I told you that Shechina is the manifestation of Hashem in this world, the goal is to what? To try to lift it higher. That it shouldn't get lost, like we spoke about last week, within physicality. We should be able to, Hashem should be pronounced in the world, recognizable in the world. So when we say Shema, Yakum Davar, what we're doing is what? We're taking Malchus, the lowest of the spheros on the board, Hashem is manifest in this world, and that takes place through us. We are the manifestation of Hashem in this world. The Jewish people are the manifestation of Hashem in this world. Through our commitment to testifying, to being able to look someone in the face who says, really, you believe in God? Yes. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's a testimony. Oh, it's old-fashioned. You still believe in God? It's unscientific. No one believes in God anymore. Come on. You say, what do you mean? Of course I believe in God. Really? You really believe in, you believe in that stuff. God gave the Bible at Har Sinai. Yeah, you believe in that? Yeah, I believe in that. I testify to that. So Yakum Davar, so I lift up. Hainu Yesh Aliyah LaShechina Kiviyach. Al Yedeze. I lift the Shechina up through this. And then he ends off, something that requires a lot of explanation, but we can understand it simply. Al Derech V'Onasa Lo Yigra. Shekai Al Kriyashma V'Onasa. It talks about if a person takes more than one wife, he has to make sure, onasa lo yigra, that he does not diminish the time that he spends with her. But he says here that onasa also means the time, right? When do we pay attention to the time? Oh, it's almost sof zman kriya shema. Keep an eye on the clock. You have to say shema by a certain time in the morning. Right? Sof zman kriya shema. So onasa lo yigra, don't diminish its time. In other words, take shema seriously. Realize what you're doing. When you say shema, you're testifying to your belief in the creator of the world. If you spend the whole chizik, make sure you say Shema three times. But again, a Jew has to understand that al pi shnei eidim, al pi shlosha eidim, yidavar. That gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu a voice to the world. When we say Shema, we say it with pride, to realize what we're saying. And we're not just saying it amongst the people who we're davening with, declaring it to the whole universe. Chashuv thing. Yeah, Amad.
How do you define
that? An Am Haaretz? I don't know. I'm not sure. I guess a person who is not confident, I mean, we all say Shema before we go to sleep, hopefully, because why not? I mean, we're not so confident that my Torah is going to protect me. Not such a big Talmud Chacham. That's the assumption. But I don't know, how do we define an Am Haaretz? And we have halachic definitions of an Am Haaretz. Different statements in Chazal. A person who doesn't, who's not Mishamish Talmidei Chachamim. A person who doesn't spend time with Talmidei Chacham and trying to learn from their ways. I mean, if you just sit in the library and read all the Jewish books in the world, you're still an Am Haaretz. If you don't have a Rebbe, if you don't have a person who you're trying to learn from, a living Sefer Torah, then no matter how much you know, you're an Am Haaretz. So there's different definitions of an Am Haaretz. Listen, the more Kriya Shema we can bring to the world, the better. That's I think, the point. Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean? How do we say Shema? How do we ever say Shema without someone else? Shouldn't Shema require a partner? Okay. Well, you can go to Minyan if you want, and you'll have some partners. Kriya Shema Lamita, right. It's a testimony that... Okay, interesting question. Interesting question. It's like the question of saying Vayechulu. Right, Vayechulu with someone Friday night. Right? Chazanish disagreed with that position, but okay. It's an interesting question. If it's Eidus, you have to say Shema with the partner. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. I hear. Okay. I don't know. We got a lot to do. Let's keep going. Yeah. Let's hear quick.
Maybe I could remember wrong, but I think the Gemara that you brought before this quoting says that a common thought is going to learn like
that was dead. Okay. So he learns Torah anyway. So that is his Shema. Okay. Listen, learning Torah is Shema also, right? Meaning when a Jew learns Torah, that's also another way of testifying that I believe that there's a Borei Olam and that Hashem is involved in the world. Okay. All right, there's a lot to see here, so let's keep going. These are all very good insights, and I'm not, Chas v'Shalom, not interested in hearing your insights, but I also want to hear what the Degumach and Ephraim has to say. I'm not interested in hearing myself either. I just want to hear him. I want to hear what he has to say. Okay, but please, ask, but let's also try to make sure we get to see a lot inside. Okay, let's go back to the first piece in the Parsha. That was just a short little piece to whet your appetite. Let's go back to the beginning of the Parsha. V'shoftu es ha'am mishpat tzedek. Parsha Shoft. Parsha begins, shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha b'chol sharecha. You should set up judges, and you should appoint officers in all of your gates and all of the land. Right? And then the pasuk says, v'shoftu es ha'am mishpat tzedek. You should judge the people mishpat tzedek, with righteous judgment. Okay, oh, sorry. We're not actually doing the first piece. We're going to do the second piece. And then the pasuk continues. And the pasuk describes how sometimes there's a challenge that the judges have in trying to solve the case. And the pasuk says, okay, we're actually going to look at the second little paragraph. I'm sorry. It says, ki yipalei mimcha davar lemishpat. What happens if you're struggling to, the matter is yipalei, if it's hidden from you. You can't figure it out. Bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega, right? Whether it's a matter of blood and blood, or verdict and verdict, or plague and plague, divrei rivos bisharecha, you can't figure it out. There's a lot of machlokes. You can't solve this particular issue. What do? You leave your hometown and you go to a higher authority. V'kamtiva alisa l'makom asher yivchar Hashem lokecha bo. Go up to the place where God is found. Come to the Beis Hamikdash. Uvasa, come to the Sanhedrin. Go to the judge in those days, find a greater judge, and then do whatever he tells you, like the pasuk says, and not to stray from his words. Don't deviate to the right or to the left. Listen to the psak. Okay. So, a description of, again, a struggle to understand a particular situation, taking it to a higher authority, getting that clarity, and following it, 100%. That's the description in the psukim. Says the Degamach and Ephraim, after he quotes all the psukim, Yesh lomar b'zeh remez l'fi anias daiti me'inyin Rosh Hashanah yom adin v'amishpat. Says the Degamach and Ephraim, I believe that these psukim, a hidden matter, a judgment, trying to clarify, dam and dam, din and din, nega and nega, taking it to a higher authority, not deviating right or left. This thing is talking about what? It's talking about Rosh Hashanah. Really? Let's see how. Sha'az shoftim kol bay olam. Because in Rosh Hashanah we judge all the people of the world. Uba malit. And people are coming to testify. It's a court case. You have the malachim that are coming to your defense, the malachim that were created through your mitzvos. And you have bad malachim that are coming to prosecute. Also created from you, from your averos, and you're standing in trial. And through what vehicle, in what way are we mevatel the makatrigim? How do we defend ourselves? How do we respond to the prosecutor? How do we make sure that the din is what? Echlala din berachem. How do we make sure that the din is included within mercy? How do we make sure things work out in Rosh Hashanah the way we want it to work out? That's what he's asking. Al yedei tkiyas shofar, which Baruch Hashem, we learned a lot about today. When I heard the shofar this morning, I closed my eyes and I was thinking about the shofar of Har Sinai and the shofar of Mashiach, and I was trying to be mechazik myself with that, like we learned yesterday. V'zeu shemaram is a pasuk. So now look how he reads this pasuk. The whole thing is talking about the judgment on Rosh Hashanah. Look at this. Amazing. Ki yipale mimcha davar. What does ki yipale mean? I told you. When the matter is yipale, when it's hidden. Vitargumo are yiskase. Are means because or when. Yiskase, when it's yiskase, covered up, when it's hidden. What does that have to do with Rosh Hashanah? Perish. Kishiyeh Rosh Hashanah Yom. Now what's the next word you have? I just want to compare your edition to mine.
Let's see. What's the next word? Yom HaKise, right? Where is it? Yom
HaKise. Okay. I don't know if he means Yom HaKise or he means Yom HaKese with a hey. Either way, he means both. Right? It's the Yom HaKise. It's the day that God ascends to his throne, so to speak. Right? But it's also a day of what? Of Kese. Of covering up. Ki Yipale. When something is hidden from you. Look what he says. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaKise. I'll read it as it's printed here. Kama Amarim Zal, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Ezehu Chodesh Shalavana Miskasebo. See, most Jewish holidays take place at what point of the month? The middle of the month. The midway point of the month. See, the moon strong. However, says the Gemara, it's actually commenting on the Pasuk, Tiku Bachodesh Shofar Bekesa Liyom Chageno. Yeah. Raise your hand if you said that pasuk today. Okay, if you said Shir Shal Yom today, you said that pasuk. Tehillim chapter 81. Okay, if you didn't, also okay. Hashem probably still loves you. Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chageno. Yeah, tiku b'chodesh shofar. On the chodesh, tiku b'shofar, sound the shofar, b'kesel yom chageno. So the Gemara darshins on that. Eizahu chodesh alavana miskasaba. What does that mean? What is the chodesh? What is the holiday, so to speak, where the what? Where the lavana, where the moon is concealed. In other words, it's a holiday that's celebrated at the very beginning of the month, before the moon is shining as brightly. Of course, the answer to that question is what? What's the holiday? The kesel yom chageinu tiku b'chodesh shofar is Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah is a time of what? Ki yipale, when things are concealed. To think about what that means. Va'oz, he says, Mishpat l'Elokei Yaakov. So we got another psukim to understand what he's saying. We have two psukim back to back in Tehillim chapter 81. What do they say? Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chageinu. What's the next pasuk? Ki chok li'Yisrael hu Mishpat l'Elokei Yaakov. So the Gemara is really darshaning those psukim. And now the Degel Machon Ephraim is borrowing from that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah to explain our Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim in the month of Elul as we prepare ourselves for the Yom HaDin. So again, let's go back to our Pasuk in the Parsha. How does it start? Ki Yipale. So what does he learn from the word Ki Yipale? Again, we know it's a court case. That's the context of the Pasukim. So when there's a concealed court case, that refers to Rosh Hashanah where the moon is in a state of concealment. Yeah. V'zehu mimcha davar lemishpat. What are the next words in the pasuk? Ki palei mimcha davar lemishpat. The word mimcha is a classic word that Sifrei Chassidus and Machshava will always pick up on. Right? Mimcha means from you, but in a stronger way. Not just you're part of the court case. Realize mimcha. Everything that's happening is because of you. Mimcha davar lemishpat. Mimcha. Hainu. Mikol ma'ase yadcha. From everything that you've done over the course of the past year. Things which are long forgotten. They're hidden from you. You forgot about them. Your thoughts, your speech. Hakol ola oz lemishpat. Okay, you see how he's putting together the pasuk? Ki yipalei mimcha davar lemishpat. At a time of concealment, when all of your mimcha, everything you've done over the course of the past year, is now coming to be scrutinized by Hashem. What's the next part of the pasuk? Bein dam ladam. If it's a matter of blood, what would be a matter of blood? Again, it could be a rabbi who's paskining a nida shaila. Bein dam ladam, right? A woman saw blood. Does it make her a nida? Is she still permitted to her husband? Is she not permitted to her husband? Yeah. Bein dam ladam. Whether it's a matter of blood. Rashi says bein dam tame ladam tower. Right. Okay, But what does it mean on a deeper level? Says the Degel Malchut Ephraim, Bein Dam Ledam Hainu, Bein Shnei Bechinos Dam. There are two Bechinos. It's a hard word to translate. Let's translate it as aspects. Two aspects of blood. What does that mean? Ki Yesh Bechinas Dam below Aleph, V'yesh Dam im Aleph. We're trying to clarify between Dam and Dam. What does that mean? Dam with an aleph or dam without an aleph? What happens if you add an aleph to the word dam? It becomes what? An adam. Adam's a chashuv thing. We're going to see the word adam in Gemara today. There's a big tosas on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. We're actually not going to learn it, but it talks about, right? Are only Jews called adam? Are non-Jews called adam? Adam ki yamas ba'ol, the pasuk says. The Gemara says that's only talking about a Jew, Israel, right? Dam just means a person of flesh and blood. Adam, if you add the Aleph to your life, and of course, what does the Aleph mean? Alufo shal olam, the master of the world, the Aleph of creation, right? The one above. So Hashem is looking. Are you just Dam? Are you just flesh and blood? Are you a regular human being? Or you're an Adam? You're an elevated person. Are you a real Adam? A real Adam. Yeah? That's the difference. Is the Aleph a part of your life? Did you live with Hashem over the course of this past year? Shehu alufo shel olam. The aleph means, the alufo shel olam literally means the master of the world, the creator of the world, the chief, an aluf. An aluf is a high-ranking officer in the army. Right? Alufo shel olam. V'nasa adam. Did you become an adam? Right? Hashem's looking. Dam, bein dam ledam. Are you dam or you're adam? Did you add that aleph? V'hainu zesh shoftim v'donim b'yom ha-kadosh ha-nizkar le'el. Al pratei adam echod. V'al klalas Yisrael. And that's what Hashem is judging on this holy day. He's looking at each individual. He's looking at the entirety of people. And Hashem's looking at the entirety of the universe. And Hashem is looking, Im yadam chas v'shalom, o b'chinas dam hasheni, shehu im af, v'yaaseh adam. Hashem wants to see, are you dam? Right? Are you as an individual, first and foremost? Are you as an individual, dam or dam? Then Hashem looks at Klal Yisrael. Is Klal Yisrael living animalistic? Or is Klal Yisrael Adam, representing the best of humanity? And then Hashem looks at the world. How's the world? Is the world Dam or is the world Adam? Right? Are we being metakin the chait of Adam Harishon? Are we getting back to the way it could have been or how it was supposed to be? Yeah.
Isn't Adam Harishon created on Rosh Hashanah?
Adam Harishon was created on Rosh Hashanah, absolutely. Day one of creation is Chaf Hei Elul. Day six of creation is Aleph Tishrei. So when we say on Rosh Hashanah, Hayom Haras Olam, today is the birth of the world, it means the purpose of the world. The purpose of the world is humanity, people. Okay? The real birth of the world, in a certain sense, day one of creation was 6 days earlier, Chaf Hei Elul. Why Hashem began the creation process on Chaf Hei Elul, I leave it to you to darshan. Eliyahu will be marich, as he always likes to say. He wants me to be marich, so you should be marich. Chaf Hayel, I don't know, go figure it out. I'm not sure what it means. Okay? So Hashem wants to see, are you an Adam or are you a Dam? And if you're Adam, he says, what? Shehu mispar mem hei, shehu rachamim. What's the gematria of Adam? 45, which he says here is rachamim. Okay, I'm going to explain what that means. First of all, Adam is also Gematria Geula, 45. Because again, you could be a slave to your sins, like we learned yesterday, or you could free yourself, Yovel, you could set yourself free, Tkiya Shofar. You free yourself, you live an elevated existence, you're not enslaved to your body, but you live an elevated existence, yeah.
And you heard a nice little word that another Gematria is Ma.
Right. Right, Ma is potential. Ma also means humility, right? Moshe Aaron, v'nachnu Ma. It's through the humbling of ourselves that we actually become bigger. Yeah. Yeah. I mentioned yesterday at Stern College, the Kotzker Rebbe said, there's no person as big as one who makes himself small. Right? So through the humility of Ma, which means what, right? One actualizes the Ma, the potential of who they could be. And you become an Adam, also Gematria 45, and then you experience your personal Geula, Gematria 45. But what does he mean here when he says that Ma is Rachamim? So there are different ways to spell out Hashem's name. What do I mean by spell out Hashem's name? To expand Hashem's name. Let's take Hashem's name, Yud, and Hey, and Vav, and Hey. Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. God's most basic name, which appears how many times in the Torah? Nani? No? How many times? Who remembers? 1,820. 1820. Okay? That means once every third pasuk, basically, it says Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Okay? So let's take that name of Hashem. There's something, there's a concept in Ramazim, in Gematria, it's in Kavanos of Kabbalah, different meditations upon different names of God. Okay? Sometimes we try to spell out, we expand, we crack open, so to speak, the letters, and we look deeper into the letters. We're going to have to do it twice today. So let's do it once now. Hopefully we'll have time to do it a second time. Take the letter Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, those four letters of God's name, and let's spell out those letters now. So how do you spell Yud? Not if I was just drawing the letter Yud. How do I spell the word Yud? Yud, Vav, Dalet. Good. Is there any other way to spell Yud? No. Only one way to spell Yud. Okay? Most letters can only be spelled one way. If someone says, I spell Yud, Yud, Vav, 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 Dalet. See, that's nice. Doesn't mean anything. That's not part of our Jewish tradition. Okay. How about the letter Aleph? How do you spell Aleph? Just for argument's sake here. Aleph, Lamed, Pei. Is there any other way to spell Aleph? No. How do you spell Beis? Bet, Yud, Tav. Is there any other way to spell Beis? No. Okay. Most letters have only one way to be spelled. There's only one way to spell Yud. What about a letter like Hey? How do you spell Hey? So you look in the writings of the Arizal. There are three legitimate ways to spell Hey. Hey, Aleph. Hey, Hey. And Hey, Yud. There's three legitimate ways to spell Hey, and depending on what and why, again, very deep things, we use different spellings of Hashem's name. Okay? How do you spell Vav? How many ways are there to spell Vav? Also three ways. You could do Vav Vav. You could do Vav Aleph Vav. Or you could do Vav Yud Vav. Okay? If you're learning Sifrei Chassidus, and you come across the following term, right? Shem Havaya. Shem Havaya means the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Shem Havaya, the same letters, Hey Vav Yud and Hey. Havaya means the name of existence because it represents Haya Hovaviya. Shem Havaya, if you see a sefer, it says, and this idea is understood through Shem Havaya B'miloy Alfin. What does that mean? What does Miloy mean? Miloy means filling. So fill in the Shem Havaya, expand the letters of Hashem's four-letter name with Alephs, right? So let's do that. Let's do Shem Havaya B'miloy Alfin. Okay, so how do you spell, again, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, using Alephs. And so what I mean by using Alephs, how do you spell Yud? Yud, Vav, Dalet. How do you spell Hey using Alephs? Hey, Aleph. How do you spell Vav using Alephs? Vav, Aleph, Vav. How do you do the final Hey using Alephs? Hey, Aleph, let's add it up. Now let's add up the gematria of Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, expanded using Alephs. 45. Okay. There are other ways to expand the Shem's name. You could use Hey, Hey. You could use Hey, Yud. You could use Vav, Yud, Vav. Right? There's bigger ways to make Hashem's name. There are four basic ways that we expand the Shem's name. The smallest expansion is using Alephs. And when you expand the Shem's name using Aleph, it equals 45. That's what he's saying here. That's what the Degam Achan Ephraim says here. That if you become an Adam, if you expand the godliness in your life, it's not just like numbers, it's not numbers, it's not Kabbalah, it's not just like, you know, abstract ideas. It wouldn't be shayach for us to learn it if it was just that. Let's learn it in Avodas Hashem now. What does it mean? If you bring more godliness into your life, if you expand Hashem's presence in your life, if you stop being dumb, not D-U-M-B, if you stop being Dalet Mem, stop being so physical, and you become an Adam, you put some Aleph into your life, and you start to expand Hashem's name, right? You take Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Gematria 26, and now you've opened it up, you've made it bigger, now it's 45. It's Gematria Adam, it's Gematria Geula, right? Like Joseph said, it represents Ma, which is potential, and it's the humility of being connected to Hashem. Because Gaiva comes from not being connected to Hashem. Thinking that, you know, you're a self-made man. There's no such thing. It's Dafka through the Bittul It's through the humility that you become an Adam, you become a man. You're a nobody until you're mevatel yourself to Hashem. That's what the Kotzker Rebbe was saying. I never saw someone as big as a person who makes himself small. Yeah.
So Yud-Kevavke is generally associated with
Din. No, Yud-Kevavke is Chesed.
Oh, it is.
Yud-Kevavke is, Yud-Kevavke is Rachamim. But let's get a little more Rachamim out of it, right? Meaning this name of God is already a name of mercy and kindness, but when we expand it, we're making it even better for ourselves. So Hashem looks at us on the Yom Noram, and Hashem says, to the degree that you brought the Aleph into your life, you're going to have what? You're going to have more Rachamim. Expanded Rachamim. Okay? That's Bein Dam L'Dam. Is everyone with me so far? Beautiful ideas. Again, I know a lot of it's new for some of us, but if we work through the Sefer and we look inside and we take good notes, like my good friend Yehuda over here is dominating in the note department. Yeah, not to the exclusion of others. Many people are taking good notes, but I've noticed all week. Amazing note taker. Okay, you'll see. You'll really grow. Okay, let's keep going. Bein Din L'Din. Bein Din L'Din, between judgment and judgment. What does this mean? Ki yesh shnei b'chinos din. Just like we learned that there's dam and dam with an aleph, adam. There's din, judgment, and there's din with an aleph. What's din with an aleph? Yesh din below aleph. Right? What's a lomar? V'yesh din im aleph. If you add an aleph to the letters din, what do you get? You get another name of God. Aleph and dalet and nun and yud. V'oz nimtach din ba'aleph ki yadua. You're nimtach, matuk. You sweeten, matok. You sweeten. You sweeten the din by bringing in the aleph. Again, the more you bring Hashem in, the more... See, when a person shows up in Rosh Hashanah and all of a sudden starts to pretend to be Hashem's best friend, Hashem says, well, where were you all year? What's going on? But if you really lived with the aleph all year long, all year round, if you were close to Hashem, Hashem was your friend, as he's going to say in a few moments from now, if you're connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu all year round, and you don't just come begging for mercy now, then Hashem says, the Aleph's already present in your life. You're good. You're an Adam. Right? You don't need din to serve the world. And then everything is good. So Hashem is judging. Again, on the day of concealment, when the Jewish people are being judged, He wants to see, is it like this or is it like this? What's the next phrase in the Pasuk? Bein nega la nega. Between plague and plague. Illness and illness. Affliction and affliction. What does that mean? Right, Pasha Pshat, you're going to the Kohen, you're asking him, is this Saras? Is this not Saras? I have a skin discoloration. Do I need a dermatologist or I need a Kohen? Right? Okay, Bein Nega L'Nega, you're trying to find out. But what does it mean on a deeper level? Hainu Sheyesh Bechinas Nega. There is an aspect called Nega, affliction, suffering, pain, difficulty. V'yesh Nasim in Osios Nega Tziruf Oneg. But sometimes you can take a nega, you can take a difficulty, and you can turn it into what? You can turn it into oneg. Now, he's not using this example by chance, because we find in some of the most ancient works of Pnimius HaTorah that it says that there is nothing higher than oneg. Oneg means ultimate pleasure, and there's nothing lower than nega. There's other examples he could give as well. Because it's true also for other things, for other letters. Tzaddikim have the ability to rearrange letters. You ever wonder how does tefillah work? How is a tzaddik mevatel a gzar din? How does a tzaddik use his power to, so to speak, overturn a judgment? When a king issues a ruling, it's not so easily overturned. Ayin, Megillas Esther. Right? They're trying to figure out. They couldn't repeal Achashverosh's first decree. They're sending out additional letters saying Jews are allowed to defend themselves. It's not so easy. Once a king has issued a decree, it's not so easy to retract the decree. So once Hashem is, so to speak, ridden the psak, this person is going to suffer. How does the tzaddik overturn it? You know what he does? He rearranges the letters. He takes all the same letters that Hashem has already sent down, and he just rearranges them. Hashem was sending a nega, the tzaddik uses his koch of tefillah and kedusha and tahara and dveikus to Hashem, and he manipulates the letters. The whole world is made up of letters. The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Nun Hey that when Hashem created the world, He used letters as the building blocks of creation. So if you know how to rearrange letters, you can take a nega and turn it into what? Into oneg. You could take kares and turn it into what? Into a kesar, into a crown. You could take something which is sometimes so negative and turn it into something so positive. You could take a machala, a terrible illness, And you could turn it into what? Into chemla. Into compassion. It's about rearranging the letters. Kedushas Levi talks about it a lot. Many Sefer Hasidus speak about this Indian of rearranging. Of rearranging the tziruf. That means changing the order of the letters. So says the Degel Malchut Ephraim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the Yom HaDin, is determining between Nega and Oneg. Va'afshu gamkin osios Neg. Oneg is the same letters as Nega. Hakol hi tziruf ha'osios kiyadua. Everything depends on the arrangement of the letters. Like the Gemara says about dreams, dreams are in accordance with their interpretation. You could have a frightening dream and go to the right person and they'll tell you, no, everything you thought was bad, it's all good. You just have to know how to darshan it up. You have to know how to learn it. Right? In life, our perspective is sometimes very skewed. What looked like it was so bad was actually so good. And when we thought something was so good, I got that awesome job, little did you know that that job was going to get you involved with some bad people who are going to destroy your life and ruin your marriage and ruin your family. Right? So we don't know, we don't have the eyes to see always what's considered good or what's considered bad. We even daven that Hashem should bestow upon us what? Hashem should be gomel chasadim tovim. You ever think about that phrase? What on earth are chasadim tovim as opposed to chasadim ra'im? What is good kindness as opposed to bad kindness? The answer is yes. There's good kindness and there's bad kindness. There's something that has a perception of being good. I have kindness, but it's actually bad for you. Which is why when we daven, we have to say with humility, Hashem, whatever you want to be, I don't want to force your hand. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, don't force Hashem to do things because you might think it's, I need this. Hashem says, I'm telling you, you don't need this. Not good for you. Okay? So it's the same letters, but it's a question of perspective. V'ala kol donim kach lamala. And all of this is being evaluated above. Eiza me'atziru from yotze el olam. Which arrangement of the letters are going to come to the world. And that's what it means, divrei rivos b'sharecha. The pashup shat, divrei rivos b'sharecha. The arguments, the machlokas, the riv, the fighting that takes place in your gates, right? But what that really means is what? Hainu elu maiminim l'zchus ve'elu masmilim l'chova. Right? There's a battle taking place between din and chesed, between nega and oneg. Right? This is the battle that's taking place in Rosh Hashanah. Everything's being negotiated. And there's a fight. The kochos atumah that you created, mimcha, ki yipalei mimcha. Right? Or like the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, yeah, ki teitzei la milchama alevecha, and you'll see in the battlefield what? You'll see soldiers and horses, right, that are so great. And the pasuk says that they're greater mimcha, they're greater than you. That's the pashup shot. But says the Rachaim HaKadosh, they're great from you. You empowered the Sitra Achra. You gave kochos, so to speak, to the dark side to get you in trouble. And now there's a fight. Divrei rivos b'sharecha. There's a battle taking place. Right? There are those pulling to the right for Schos. There are those pulling to the left for Chova. Nu, so what do you do? So the kamt of Alisa Alamom. How do we save ourselves? What do? Kamt of Alamakom. We have to go up to the Makom. Who's the Makom? Hamakom Nachem Eschem. Hashem's called Makom. Shetir Elios Lecha Kima V'Aliyah Lech Baruch Hu Anikra Makom. Go up to Hashem. Chaver, there's a big machlokas. How to learn the Pasuk. Sur Meira V'Asei Tov. You've heard it before. Sur Meira. Go away from negative ad. V'Asei Tov. And get involved in good. Is that order one is supposed to operate in? Sur Meira. It's a big machlokas. Should I first stop doing bad things, then I have a right to do good things, or no? I'm never going to be able to stop doing bad things. Sur meira, stop doing bad things through asetov, meaning just do as much good. And many, many Sefer Hasidus say that's really the right approach. If you spend time cleaning up your averos before you give yourself permission to be a good Jew, there's so much cleaner. Spend your whole life cleaning up. Just as many tzaddikim say, increase the light in your life. Increase the presence of the Rabbona Shalom in your life. Okay? This was the machlokas, the Shem Yishmuel says, between Yaakov and Yosef. Yosef, the tzaddik, says, what? First comes Menashe, and then comes Ephraim. What does Menashe mean? Menashe means forgetting something, leaving something behind. In other words, first get rid of your bad, and then Ephraim, then Puravu, then be fruitful, then produce. What did Yaakov Avinu do? No, look, what did Yaakov Avinu do? He crossed his hands. What did he do? He put Ephraim before Menashe. What was Yaakov saying? Yosef, for some tzaddikim, maybe. You could do it like you. For most people, Ephraim comes first. Just do good. Increase the good in your life. Get involved in good things. Yeah? It says the pasuk, V'kamta v'alisa alamakum. Go up to Hashem. I'll tell you a remez for El, you probably never heard. It's from the Das Sakenim of the Bali Atosos. It says, I think it's in Mitzora. It says, Echad l'chatas ve'echad l'ola. When you're bringing karbanos, the Mitzora brings Echad l'chatas ve'echad l'ola. Now what do you see, Dov? Roshei Tevos Elol. Echad l'chatas. Oh, sorry, it's the other way around. Echad l'ola. I said it backwards. I ruined the whole bar. Echad l'ola ve'echad l'chatas. That's what it says. Echad l'ola ve'echad l'chatas. Roshei Tevos Elol. What does it have to do with El? These two karbanos? But again, I have to ask myself, what should my avoda be in Elo? Should I focus on chatas, my mistakes of the past? Or should I focus on ola, of lifting myself up higher? And the answer the Torah gives us is, they're both important, but echad la'ola comes first. That the ikar avoda, again, for most people, has to be what? Echad la'ola, and then echad l'chatas. If you worry too much about your averas, not that we're ignoring them. It's a big responsibility. I got to clean it up eventually. But the first thing to do, if I've made really bad choice in the past, don't sit around just feeling bad about it. Just go do good things. Get out of bed in the morning. Get to a minyan. Get a chavrusa. Start davening. Start learning. Go to a good place for Shabbos. Throw yourself into, but what about all those things? We'll deal with it later. Echa la'ola. V'kam teva alisa alamakam. That's what the pasuk says here. Go straight up to Hashem. Find a way to go up to Hashem, who's called Makom. Al Shem Makomo Shel Olam, because like the Medrash says, God is the place of the world. He fills all place. Okay? And then he says, Ga Makom Hu Bechinas Yaakov Shenikra Makom. I'm going to skip the next couple of lines because it's late. And I want to get to really the last piece of the last section of the piece. Okay, so just jump down. He talks about how Avraham is Tekia, and Shvarim is Yitzchak, and Trua maybe is Yaakov. Okay, it's going to take too long to explain it right now. So just jump to where it says, Vizehu va'asisa al pi haTorah. You see it? Or maybe Uvizet tovatlu. Yeah, where it's bold and where it says va'asisa al pi haTorah, about 7-8 lines from the bottom. Just go 3 lines before that. Uvezet tevatlu. Middle of the line. Uvezet tevatlu kol hamastinim v'kol hamakatrigim shekulam liyamlitzu zuchus al Yisrael. And in this way, when a Jew does all the things we've been describing here, bringing more aleph into your life, turning nega into onek, going up to Hashem, right? Showing that I'm taking a step forward and I'm actually going to try to do more, get involved. In that way, a person is mevatel. He negates all of the satan and all of the kitchurig, all of the accusations and the prosecution against him. That they all become what? A source of schus. Like the Gemara says in Yoma, you could turn your averos into mitzvos if you do tshuva in a real way. V'yichlal smol b'yamin. And you bring the left side, the side of din, to the right side, which is the side of kindness, of chesed. And that's the end of the psukim, as we read. What happens? What do the psukim say? If a matter of judgment is concealed from you, bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega, divrei rios b'sharecha, there's a big debate, a big machlokas taking place, go to the kohanim, go up to the teachers of Torah, and do exactly what they tell you to do, right? Vasisa, do what they say, al pi haTorah. And what does it say? Lo sasur, don't deviate from the words right or left. What does that mean? Says the Achan Ephraim. We'll conclude with this idea. Amazing idea. What does it mean? Kamoshu Chazal, like it says in the Medrash, Afilu Omer la al Yamin shu smol, val smol shu yamin. Can't believe I never thought of this. What does it mean? Even if they tell you that your right and left is right, Rebbe, what are you talking about? How could right be left and left be right? I'm telling you. Trust me. I can see things you can't see. What's your Rebbe telling you? What's the Tzaddik telling you? What's the Kohen telling you? The Kohen telling you, you think sometimes this is a din, I'm telling you it's a chesed. You think it's left, I'm telling you it's right. You think it's right, I'm telling you it's left. Lo sasur min adavar, attach yourself to Torah and Torah people, and you'll have the realization that what? That everything is a combination of chesed and din. Is Rosh Hashanah a day of judgment, or is Rosh Hashanah a day of great kindness? It's both. Is Yom Kippur a day of din, or is it a day of great kindness? It's both. In this week's parsha, we learn about the Ir Miklat. That's why the reason I brought the Stipler Gon Sefer. In the Birchas Peretz, in his section of, not the Gematria section in the back, but his section of ideas on the Parsha, in Parsha's Maaseh, where we also talk about the Ir Miklat, he says, think about an Ir Miklat. Who goes to an Ir Miklat? A person who killed someone by accident. Is an Ir Miklat a chesed, or is an Ir Miklat a punishment? It's both. Says the Stipler Gon, b'mitzvas Ir Miklat yeshnei inyanim. It's a hatzalah, it saves him, and it's an onesh. It saves him because, on the one hand, we're creating a place, a safe space for him to go, to what? To save his life from the Gaal Hadam, the one who's trying to kill him. On the other hand, says the Stipler Gon, it's a big onesh. He can't step out of that Ir Miklat. He's stuck in that place. The Gemara says on the Pasuk that he should go there, asher nos shama, the Gemara says, he goes shama, sham tehei diraso, sham tehei misaso, sham tehei kfuraso. He stays there, he lives there, he dies there, he's buried there. Come on, he's already dead, let him at least be buried with his family somewhere else. No, he's trapped in the Ir Miklat. Again, until the Kohen Gadol dies. Right, but what's the pshat? Is the Ir Miklat protecting his life? Is the Ir Miklat cheapening his life? You take one step outside the Ir Miklat, you can be killed? Is it a hatzalah? Is it an onesh? Says the Stipler Gon, Ir Miklat is exactly that. It's an onesh on the one hand, mitzad adin, and it's a hatzalah mitzad midas harachem. That's why one of the Rashi Tevos for Elul, the Arizal says, is, I told you, Ir Miklat has a lot to do with Elul. I told you yesterday. It says, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, what's the Arizal? Ina liyado v'samti l'cha makom. By the Ir Miklat. Ina, Aleph, Liyado, Lamed, Visamti, Vav, Lecha. Which means that if Hashem brought a death to your hand that was not premeditated, Hashem gives you an Ir Miklat to save yourself. Right, what does Ir Miklat have to do with Chodesh Elul? Because again, is Chodesh Elul a punishment? Is Hashem trying to make us feel bad? Hashem's trying to intimidate us? Or is Hashem giving us an opportunity? Is it a Hatzalah? Or is it an Onesh? Okay? And the answer is it's a little bit of both. So when you go to the tzaddikim of the generation and they tell you, don't deviate to the right or to the left, even if they tell you right is left and the left is right, hainu, le'echlala smola b'yamina. It comes to what? To include the left within the right. Afshi yinira l'chashu smol, even if it appears like it's left. Hainu din, tavin shebavadai hu yamin. Realize that anytime Hashem is judging you, it's not because Hashem doesn't like you. Hashem's trying to help you to grow, to better yourself. It's be'emes yamin, it's ru chesed. V'tire shalo sasur. And don't separate, don't deviate. Recognize the relationship between right and left. That they're always together. Don't let there be a pirud. V'tire shalo sasur. Hainu pirud. Don't let there be a separation. V'hasara. And a disconnect. Bein yamin u'smol. Raklios klulim zebezeh. They should be attached to each other. Yamin b'smol. Yeah, v'smol b'yamin. V'oz yimtiku kol adinim. Then we can sweeten all of the midas adin, the yishtiku kol mekatrugim, and we can silence all of the accusations of amastinim, the yishavchul l'schus. We can turn everything into merit, ulerachamim alecha v'al kol Yisrael, bechlal, and for you and the entire Jewish people. And as again, as he often concludes, v'hamaschil yavin, and one who is wise will understand. I'll just end with one remez. I have a few remezim I wanted to tell you. I'll tell you one, just to show you how right and left are so deeply connected. Very amazing remez from a Yid, Belzer Chassid, who was killed in the Holocaust. We have an amazing Haggadah from him. A Haggadah called Haggadah's Beis Aaron, Beis Avram. In the Haggadah's Beis Aaron, Beis Avram, he says an awesome remez. To show you how what? How left and right are always connected. How chesed and din are always connected. And again, when we learn deep Svarim, like Gedal Nachar Afraim, it opens our eyes to see these things. Let's talk about Hashem's name of Chesed and Hashem's name of Din, just very quickly. What's Hashem's name of Chesed? Yudkei Vavkei. What's Hashem's name of Din? Elokim. Okay? If you didn't know that, Yudkei Vavkei is God's name of kindness. Elokim is God's name of judgment. Okay? What's the gematria of Yudkei Vavkei? 26. How do you write 26? If I told you, open to page 26, what page are you going to open to? Chaf Vav. Okay? Chaf Vav. Okay? So now let's write down Chaf Vav, spelling the words. Chaf, how do you spell Chaf? They spell the word Chaf. Chaf and Pei, right? How do you spell Vav? I told you there's different ways to spell Vav. Let's use Vav Vav. Simple Vav. So look what emerges. Look what emerges when you spell Chaf Vav. Chaf Vav, you spell it out, it's Chaf Vav. Okay. So this part we already have. We have this Chaf, we have the Vav. What's hidden inside? The letters emerge. Pei and Vav. See? You see how hidden within Chaf Vav is Pei and Vav? You spell Chaf Vav? Yeah? What's the gematria of Pei Vav? 86, which is gematria? Elokim. Elokim. So hidden within, right? Hidden within the Chav Vav, hidden within the name Chav Vav, which is Hashem's four-letter name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? Four-letter name of Hashem. Hidden within it is 86, gematria 86, which is gematria Elokim. Okay? Now let's do Elokim, let's do the same thing. What's the gematria of Elokim? 86, we said. So how would you write 86? 86 is Pei Vav. Okay? How do you spell Pei Vav? There's a few ways to spell Pei, there's a few ways to spell Vav. Okay? We're going to spell Pei, Pei Yud. Pei. And we're going to spell Vav, Vav Yud Vav. I told you it's a legitimate way to spell Vav. So what letters emerge when we spell Pei Vav? We had the Pei, we had the Vav. What letters are hidden inside? A Yod, and a Vav. Which is gematria? 26. You see? So hidden within Yod Kei Vav Kei, hidden within Hashem's name of kindness is what? Hidden within is Elokim, is a little bit of Midas Hadin. And hidden within Elokim, gematria Pei Vav, when you expand Pei Vav, what's hidden inside of that? 26, Yud Kei Vav Kei. So says the Haggadah, Beis Aaron, Beis Avram, what do you see from here? Yaminu Smol, it's always connected. They're always connected. Right? They're always connected. We have to have deep eyes to see. So what is El, what is Rosh Hashanah? Is Hashem trying to punish us? Is Hashem trying to save us? What's the Indian of the Ir Miklat? Is it a way to protect our lives? Is it a way to remind ourselves that we've made mistakes and we have to answer for them? The answer is a little of both. It's a little of both, and it depends on our perspective. But it's an opportunity to turn Dam into Adam, to turn Din into Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud, to turn Nega into Oneg, and to grapple, right? To grapple with the choices I've made by attaching myself to Torah people and Torah ideas. And even if the Tzaddik tells me, I'm telling you, this looks like a setback, but for you, you're going to see it's going to turn into a Chesed, believe him. Lo Sasvik, don't deviate right or left. And then Amir Sashem will all be Zocha, like he told us here, ובזוכה יזהפכו לזכוסו לרחם עליך ועל כל ישראל בכלל. אמן, כן יהי רצון. שכוח.